Okay. We are looking at the Apostle Paul and looking at his work, mainly in Acts chapter from 18 on 20, 21. And we've been talking about the mind of a servant. We're going to talk this morning about the method of the servant. And then my plan is for us to finish up this lesson 9. We're going to talk about the message and then the mission. So that's what we're going to try to do. We're going to attempt that this morning, okay? So Acts chapter 20, in verse 20. Paul, in this part we're reading about, he's talking to the elders from the church in Ephesus, and he says, "You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly and from house to house." Some of your translations use the word profitable. Okay? So let's talk about this this idea of him being profitable or preaching things that were profitable or helpful. The first question in this particular section: why did Paul preach? What was his motivation for preaching here? Why was he doing it?
To save the lost.
Okay, and that's the profitable part, right? Okay, he's trying to save people's souls. Share the word so that people could be saved. The question, let's talk about this word profitable or helpful. What was profitable about him preaching? We need to think about it not in terms of financial profit, okay, which is typically what we think about when we think of profit, but in this text here, what's that word mean? Okay, the church would grow. What did you say, Chet?
Well, if you've got profit, you're successful.
Okay, all right, you were right when that was wrong. No, just teasing.
Worldly.
Okay, yeah, it's just, you know, sharing the gospel, helping people to find the truth. So that, but Chet, talk about this idea of being successful a little bit more here. Successful in what? Come on, you guys, expound a little bit here.
He was saving souls. He was starting churches. He was.
Okay.
I think in verse 24 it tells what his goal is.
Okay.
He says, "If I only may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus gave me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace."
Okay. All right.
That's what he was successful at. That's what he wanted to be successful at.
But who was the prophet for? Who was he trying to be profitable for?
God.
Okay. In other words, it wasn't for himself, was it? Is he talking about being profitable, you know, himself being profitable? No. He's talking about the other people. You see, the people that he's teaching. It's to their profit. Look at the word that he uses here, and again in the NIV he says, "I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be profitable or helpful to you." Okay. So the idea is, what are we able to do to help or to be profitable for other people with God's word?
Keep spreading it.
You what?
We keep spreading it. We receive it.
Right.
We add to it, then we spread it.
Okay. If we're trying to help people, and this is really the idea, we're trying to help other people to be profitable. Isn't that, well, at least in to one degree, what financial counselors are trying to do with folks? You see? I mean, for a lot of them, there's an investment aspect of it, right, for themselves. But at the same time, they're also trying to help other people to be profitable with their finances. Okay? But that's part of the idea, is to be profitable. Now, if I'm a Christian and I'm trying to help you to be profitable in Christ, I'm going to get a benefit from that also, right? So, you know, it's kind of the same thing. I'm going to benefit from that in my relationship with God. But at the same time, what I'm trying to do, it's not all just for me, it's to try to help you also. See? Now, in this case, what group of people is Paul talking to?
Greeks.
Well, he's talking to the elders from Ephesus here. Okay? Right? You know, this is part of his you know, kind of a encouragement speech before he leaves, so to speak. So he's, you know, these are folks who are already Christians. These are elders in the church that he's talking about these things to. And he's talking about how he has, in the time that he's been with them, has not hesitated to teach anything that would be profitable to them or helpful to them. Okay? So that applies to the elders in the church. Okay? Who else would it apply to? Okay? Yeah. I mean, certainly, if the things that we can teach would be profitable to the leadership of a church, then doesn't it make sense that those things would be also profitable to everybody else, including those who were not even Christians yet? You see? Now, part of the emphasis here, I think, that we need to focus on, and he doesn't really do this in our lesson material, is just this whole idea of Paul's saying here, he uses that word, the phrase, "I did not hesitate to teach anything that would be profitable or helpful." What does that idea bring about?
Didn't hold back.
Told them what they needed to hear, not what they wanted to hear. Okay. Yes?
Well, could you also say that it was looking at it as a sense of being profitable because that Jesus came to give us life more abundant, and not only life here on earth, but to have life after death.
Mm-hmm.
So if in turn he did that, and then we spread the gospel that he brought, that would make it more profitable, or make it profitable to those that we are taking the message to.
Absolutely. So
they would not only have life more abundant while they're living here on earth, but also have life after death.
Right. Absolutely. Now, this whole idea of something being profitable, in other words, if I'm sharing with you something that is profitable, okay, what does that tell you about the thing that I'm sharing with you? What does it, out of necessity, have?
Value.
Thank you. See? I recognize the value of what I have that I'm sharing with you so that you can profit from that.
You don't make profit off something that's worthless.
Yeah.
Well, unless you're...
Exactly. So what does that then tell us about, again, Paul's talking here about what? What is the point of his discussion here? It's the things that he has taught, right? The Word of God. So then that emphasizes the value of God's Word to the profit or the benefit, you see, of those who are receiving it, does it not? Right? Whether they be leaders in the church, or whether that be someone who is not even a Christian. Okay. There is value in the Word, and that value brings profit. Okay? Now, the next concept or idea that he has here, the question that he asks, the third one down there, why would anyone not preach some profitable thing? Kind of requires a little bit of self-examination, doesn't it? If I have something that is of benefit to you, that can profit you in some way, why wouldn't I share it with you? Why wouldn't I? What? Selfishness, okay, perhaps. Not really that concerned about you, am I? I can help you, but I don't...
Or they want to be superior to others.
Okay, sometimes that's the motivation, right? Okay. What other reasons would there be for us not to share something profitable with someone? Fear?
Rejection.
Right?
In a way, greed.
Okay.
You want to keep it for all to ourselves.
Okay. All right.
Would they like to have a good?
Okay. Worry about maybe I share too much with them and they'll be do better than I will.
That's right.
Okay.
The gospel is something that is designed to be shared. The Lord told us in Matthew, you should go out into all the world. And that not only did he just say it's a command for us, but we're not supposed to just keep it to ourselves. This is something that is designed to be shared, because God doesn't want anyone to be lost.
Right.
So that's the good reason. Okay. That's why we need to do this.
It's designed and intended to be given away.
Yeah. Right? Actually, the profit goes two ways. It's a profit if you are doing it, but it's even more profitable for the person who obeys it.
Okay. All right.
Because then they have an opportunity to enjoy the same thing that you enjoy.
Yeah.
The possibility of living the life that you need to live so that you can make it in heaven. Yeah. So that's the profit.
It's it has the ability to save someone's soul, doesn't it? Okay? And so we have that thing of value, right? Right?
Yeah.
Right.
Okay? We have it, okay? Question is, what are we doing with it? See? Are we sharing it as much as we can and much as we should be with other people so that they can profit from, our having it? John?
The parable of the talents.
Yeah. We bury them, don't we? Yeah. But there are these reasons. We're afraid and we're, what was it you said, Laura? We're selfish sometimes. We want to keep it to ourselves. Sometimes I think people get these weird ideas that, there's only X number of spaces in heaven, and so, if I share it with you, you might get my space, and so you don't want that to happen. We all know there's only 144,000 going to heaven, right? Wrong. Okay? The more people out there that got the gospel, then there's less chances of me going to heaven. I may have to live forever in paradise here on earth, and who wants to do that? That's a whole wrong concept anyway, okay? That's totally unbiblical. There's enough space for everybody, okay? Sometimes there's a lot of things that I think fall into the category of being profitable to other people, but there are reasons why we don't share them with other people that we've been talking about. Let me give you another example. This is, something when it comes to parenting, for instance. See? Parents, all of us, just seem to kind of have this, idea. We don't like someone else telling us how to raise our kids. Right? See? That's always kind of a real sticky subject with folks. You see? Even as a counselor, as a marriage and family therapist, I have problems sometimes with folks who, they're having problems with the kids, but they don't want even someone like me telling them what they should do differently than what they're doing, you see? And I think that sometimes the main reason for that is that people get the idea that what that's indicating is that I'm failing. Okay? I messed up and so forth. Sometimes people have the idea that they don't, that if they're not able to figure it out by themselves, then there's something wrong with them. They don't need someone else telling them how to do things. So they refuse the information that would be profitable. So it's not just when it comes to the gospel that sometimes people don't want to hear it, you see. And it's not just with the gospel that sometimes people that have the information that's profitable with others don't want to share it. Okay? There's a lot of different reasons, factors that kind of weigh into those things, aren't there? Sometimes it is the perceived response. Sometimes it's the real response that other people give, you see, to what we're trying to offer them. But sometimes it's just the things that we in our own mind have come up with as excuses to not share what is profitable to other people. See? And that's something that we have to take an honest evaluation of ourselves of and say, okay, wait a minute here. You know, I've got this excuse, that excuse, this excuse, but how valid are those? And what am I willing to do what God has told me to do? That is to share what is profitable. Remember, Paul here is telling this group of elders, I didn't hesitate to share anything with you that would be profitable. Okay? And we need to have that same kind of attitude. You know, you've heard me many times in here express to you, you know, just the whole idea, you know, watch your toes, because I'm fixing to step on them. Well, that's kind of my way of saying, you know, look, I've got something profitable for you and you need to hear it. And it may not, you may not like what you hear. It may not feel very good. It might hurt your toes to have them stepped on a little bit, but it's profitable, and I'm not going to hesitate to share that with you. Because to be honest with you, I care more about your soul than your feelings. And that may sound harsh, but that's the truth, okay? I care more about your soul and you going to heaven than I do about your feelings. And if your feelings get hurt because I've shared something profitable with you, then I don't apologize for that, okay? Because I want you to hear the truth, what will be profitable to you. Any thoughts or questions so far on that? I think that sometimes, you know, and again, we've talked about this idea a little bit in this, you know, that basically it's kind of like being a salesman or a salesperson.
It's the exact same thing.
Okay? Well, in a sense it is, Laura, because we have something valuable to offer to people. It's the same as, like I said, a vacuum cleaner. I've got the best vacuum cleaner that's ever been made. Okay? And so, you know, I want other people to be able to enjoy the use of this great vacuum cleaner, okay? Well, if I sell you a vacuum cleaner, I'm going to make a profit out of it, right? But you're going to have the best vacuum cleaner in the world, okay? But if I don't really believe in that product, then I'm not going to sell much of it. Yeah. Now, here's the thing, though. I can approach my selling the vacuum cleaner from two different perspectives. One is totally all about me. The more vacuum cleaners I sell, the more money I make, and that's all I'm in it for, you see? So, you know, I'm going to tell you what I think you need to hear in order to convince you to buy this vacuum cleaner, because I want to make as much money as I possibly can. Okay, that's total salesmanship, okay? The other is that, yes, I'm going to benefit from this. I'm going to make some money if I sell you a vacuum cleaner. But at the same time, you're going to profit because, you know what, the vacuum cleaner you got right now, it doesn't clean your house the way you really need it to. Have you ever looked at your carpet? You know, I mean, if you could really get down in there, you'd see all the stuff that's stuck in there. You know, I would, because I want you to have the benefit of what I have found from this product. You see? It works for me. I use it. I think it's the best thing, you know, that's ever been made as far as a vacuum cleaner, and I want you to be able to have the same opportunity. You see? There's a difference between those two approaches, isn't it? Yes, I'm going to profit from it, but so are you, and I really want you to be able to benefit from, you know, this particular product, okay? Again, as I mentioned a few moments ago, as I'm sharing the gospel, that's the product, isn't it?
Well, that's exactly why, like until the boss, if it's a good product, the first thing they do is tell you to start using it
first.
You go out and sell it to other people,
exactly.
Then you'll like it, you'll understand it, you'll believe in it, and you have to do it with everyone.
Right, exactly. And the person you're trying to sell it to is going to say, well, do you use it? Absolutely. I use it, you know, and so, or...
And you always have stories about it.
Yeah.
Your mama or your
sure. Yeah. My mama. I got my mama one of these. I'm so convinced of it. You know, I'm still going to get a profit out of it, okay, as I share the gospel with you. If I don't share the gospel, what's going to happen? You know, I'm not doing what God tells me to do. He's going to punish me for that. You know, because I'm disobeying Him. He's told me to do it. Okay? But I'm still going to get a profit in my relationship with God as I'm sharing His Word with other people and I'm living His Word. I'm going to benefit from that. You see? Same way as I'm using that vacuum cleaner, I'm going to benefit because my house is going to be clean. Okay? But you're going to benefit also. And that's what it's about. About sharing what is profitable to other people.
Yeah.
Okay. And so we really need to understand it that way. Yeah, absolutely. It's kind of a, you know, as people say, it's a win-win situation. Everybody wins from this. But if I keep all my vacuum cleaners in my storage house, you know, and I don't go out and try to sell them with folks, I'm not going to profit, and neither is anybody else. Okay. All right, we got lots of hands up all over the place. Lit the board up with that one. Okay, Gene?
This is really happening. It's not a joke. My mother-in-law, when I first married my husband, they didn't have electricity. Well, this husband had electric. He came to her house, and he had a lot of pipes, and he just let this one pick up all his just for the floor. He let us see all of that, and just, they made a joke about it now, but anyway, just like that.
I have electricity, so I'm going to be able to work.
So make sure the product works.
So, yeah, make sure that you've got the right resources, okay? Colonel, we're just going to work our way back here, all right?
Sometimes Christians rest on their laurels because they have the wrong idea of grace.
Okay.
And, you know, if you go with the same analogy, they think, oh, I've got grace. So I've already received the commission and the salary that I'm going to get. I don't have to do anything else.
Okay.
But that's not why God gave us grace. God gave us grace so that when we tried our best and still it wasn't good enough, we have grace. Not, I'm just going to sit back and relax and let somebody else do it. That's not what grace is about. But
okay.
People get that idea and, you know, some people overemphasize baptism to the point where people think I'm baptizing good and I don't have to do anything. But that's not the message of the Bible. That's not the example of Jesus and the apostles. That's just not reality.
That's not the end of the salvation process. It's just the beginning.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Stephen?
Well, you just made me think of how where I work, you can tell a good salesperson, like
okay.
You were saying about sharing, how some people are just in it for the numbers. They don't. They'll sell you a car, but they won't tell you how to work the features or anything
right.
in it. So,
yeah.
you, like you were saying about actually getting something out of it, when you go through everything with the person and tell them everything, that's sort of like being a child of God versus
right.
you know just doing something to get numbers.
Yeah, absolutely. And it really does make a difference, and it shows to the people that you're talking to if they see you using the product. In this case. the gospel of Christ. They see it in your life, and they also see that you genuinely care about them. See, that's what makes a lot of difference. John?
The analogy of the sales doesn't quite work for me in the way that what we're selling, we're actually giving away for free.
Right. Oh, absolutely.
And I think it's more of like you share seed with your neighbor. You show him how you're growing in your garden, and then you're giving him fruits from your garden. And right. So you want to give him some of those seeds so he can sow his garden, and you'll get, he'll give you some of his, and he'll just keep expanding from that
right.
point on.
Yeah.
And so there's such a, there are people trying to sell the word of God.
Absolutely.
I just want to, that's not what we're about, and that's not, I hate people associating that per se.
Well, and hopefully you understand, I'm not suggesting we should be selling the gospel. That's not the point. It's just a comparison of being able to say, we have a product. We have something that's valuable, and we want other people to have it. See? And so, when you kind of look at that comparison with a salesman, they've got a product that's valuable, and they're trying to share it with other people. They're trying to make a profit, but also, again, depending on the attitude of the salesperson is, I'm going to profit from this, but you are too, and so I want you to be able to enjoy this product or whatever it is, you see. I still, by the way, have not been convinced by that guy that has that little strap thing you put on your ear to hold your phone and your computer up into your ear and all that.
Oh, my gosh.
Seen that infomercial?
Yeah.
That guy's enthusiastic as he can be, trying to sell those things, but he hadn't sold me it to convince me that would be profitable for me to have. Somebody else had a hand up over here. I threw that in for free. I won't charge extra for that this morning. Right?
One of the things that I look at in the society we live in, how people just run to make money, you get rich. I look at the oil companies. I look at the stuff that's going on out there in New York. And all those things that they run after to get money.
Right.
And what we have is much more valuable than money could ever buy. You don't get from one soul, and sometimes you don't get from one opportunity to make sure that your soul is not lost. And we have to make sure that we do all that we can to do it God's way. Authority by his authority and his grace, as Brother mentioned, how wonderful it is that he gives this to us. That part is free to everybody. But we got to do some work in order to make it in and be there with him. And this all this running after money and all this getting and don't get me wrong, I'm not saying money is bad. But what I am saying is, you got to know what's more valuable.
Right.
What is more valuable?
Absolutely.
Your soul, my soul is more valuable. It's certainly more valuable to God, because he doesn't wish that anyone be lost. So I should make sure that I value it as much as he does.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, money, the only thing money is good for is buying what? Stuff. That's all you can buy with money is stuff. Okay? You can't pay enough money to buy your salvation. That's how valuable it is. Okay, ready?
It's always good to follow up after the fact, after the sale, or after the presentation. And so many times that does not happen. Check with me a couple months later. See how the product is. See how the lesson is going. See how the sales is doing. How you like the house and so. But so many times that is never done. So that tells me you don't care about me. You just want the money. Always follow up with your people.
Follow up, right? Okay. All right. Kelly, real quick. Then we got to move on here. We're gonna finish this lesson. We gotta move on here. Otherwise, we're gonna keep going with this thing.
It's just funny that you're talking about this today, because we were just having this conversation yesterday about kind of going off what you said about how people are so busy, they're after money, after work, And we were just thinking, look around at your neighbors. How many of them are Christians? How many actually know about God, live godly lives? And how many of them do you have connection with? And we're just too busy to stop and talk to the people we've lived next door to for 15 or 20 or even 30 or 40 years, you know? And I was reading a book, and they were saying that we have to make God number one and be willing to drop everything to go and talk to this person when the opportunity is presented to ourselves. If we don't drop everything and make God priority when we have the opportunity to teach people, then we're not doing what we're supposed to do. We're putting jobs and everything else, taking kids to their games or going to this event or that event. It's more important than God now.
Chasing after stuff.
Yeah, I think a lot of people have a fear of survival too.
Oh yeah.
Well, I think it's a deliberate thing. I think that they're scared that they're going to lose their jobs, they're going to lose their house, or they want to feed their kids, and you know, they want to.
Well, there is a conflict, you know. We do have this. Yeah, I want to go to heaven, but until I do, I got to live
here.
You know, yeah, I got to survive and so on. So there is somewhat of a conflict there, but we've got to kind of get that priority. You know, the other part of this is. You know, where do we take our product? You know, and Paul makes a statement in this here that he taught publicly and from house to house. Say, you know, so it's a matter of, you know, this one thing that Jerry's talked about a lot of different times, and we discussed this whole idea of getting into people's homes. You know, we talked about that a lot. You know, the value of getting into people's homes and building relationships with people. You see, and what we can do with that. And so, yeah, it's not just about public preaching and, you know, being the person that, you know, gets paid all the big bucks, you know, to stand up in front of you and, you know, tell you things that you don't necessarily want to hear all the time. But, you know, it's being a right colonel. That's what it's about, right?
That's why I got into it.
Yeah, that's why I got into it. It's the big buck. But you know, it also is, it's that opportunity, you know, that you're talking about, Kelly, to be able to go to someone's home or to whatever that opportunity is, wherever it is, you know, whether it's public or private, you know, whatever, that we do that. Let's talk real quickly about the message of the servant. Verse 21, we're still over in Acts chapter 20 here, okay? He says, I have declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus. So, you know, this focuses on, okay, what is that message that is profitable or valuable? What is the message?
Turn to God.
Turn to God, you see. You've got to give your life to Christ. You see, that's what it's all about. Your life will not be profitable unless and until you do. The message, the prophet in the message is giving your life to God. Repent and turn to the Lord. Have faith in Him. So the message that we share, okay, that is, in a sense, and John, I know you don't like this analogy, but that's the product, isn't it? It's the message. That's what we have to share with other people. So what do we need to do with that product before we're going to share it with other people?
Know it, live it.
We got to know it, we got to live it. Okay? We got to practice it ourselves, right? Okay? Because if we don't practice it ourselves, then people are going to say, well, you're not doing it. No. That's one of the reasons why the Lord in Revelation talks about being hot or cold, but not what? Lukewarm. See? It's because you are the church in Laodicea, because you are lukewarm, I will spew you out of my mouth, he says. I want you to be one or the other. Why? Because if you're cold, you're not for the Lord. Everybody knows it. There's no question whatsoever. Okay? They're not even looking for you to be following the Lord. If you're hot, you're on fire for the Lord, you're living it, people can see that in your life. But if you're lukewarm,
a fool.
Do what?
Kind of a fool.
Yeah. You're a hypocrite is what you are. And people will see that also. Okay? And so, you know, it's the message that we have, that's the product. We've got to make sure that we're giving the right message to folks. You see? So we got to make sure we know what the message is. We got to make sure that we're, again, using the product ourselves, that we're living it in our lives. When we say that, understand, and this goes back, Colonel, what you were saying before about grace. It's not saying we have to do everything perfectly, you see, but it's that we are striving each day to live our life for Christ, knowing that sometimes we're going to do it well and other times we're not. You see, but that we are striving to do that. And then finally, the mission of the servant, okay? Verses 22 through 24. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I'm going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me, if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. John, this is what you brought up earlier. This is the mission. We don't always know what the outcome is going to be. We don't know, you know, where, you know, if I go and I do this, how is this person going to respond? How are they going to react? What's going to happen to me? We talked back a few weeks ago, and by the way, the last update that I got on Youssef is he's still in prison. They have not executed him yet. You know, is that what's going to happen to me? You see? Don't know what's going to happen.
Hold it.
Do what?
Yeah,
he didn't know. That's what he's saying here. I'm going to Jerusalem. I don't know what's in store for me there, but I'm going anyway. You see why? Because I'm compelled to. The mission is to share the gospel. You see? So that then kind of, just to wrap this up, that brings us back to that whole issue of, we were talking about the why don't we share it with other people. All those fears and reasons and so forth, excuses that we so often come up with for not doing it. Say, they really are just that. They're excuses. Say, because God is calling upon us. He's told us, this is what your job is. This is your mission. Okay? And we recognize that it's profitable to other people. And we need not be concerned about, well, I don't know how it's going to turn out. I don't know how they're going to receive it. I don't know what's going to happen. We just need to do it. See? And let God take care of those other details. Okay? When we do that, then people are able to profit from what we have to offer. All right? Okay. We finished today.
We graduated
to lesson 10, which are over here on the podium there, and we'll begin that next week. So get one of those. That's your homework for next week. All right? Thank you all very much.